three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. My name is Joseph Corr from Stats Perform Media, and actually soon to be another outlet, but until the ink's dry on that, I'll keep that quiet. We're recording this late on Tuesday night, 7th of December, and I'm joined by my co-host, Andrew Canyon.
Here I am, Andrew Canyon, the fan man in the stand. I was in the stand on Friday night as the Wildcats opened up their account, so living true to my title. I have to do the right thing by that.
There may be a problem with that title going forward because, if I'm not mistaken, just recently you got your formal laminated NBL media accreditation.
Yes, yeah, you're leading with that. That's right.
I'm doing it.
It's legit, man. It's legit. It was, thanks to the league for recognizing the NBL Pocket Podcast as an official podcaster. I think that's a really good pat on the back for both of us.
I think so.
Yeah, and I think. Picked it up from the Wildcats were office were the distributors of it for my purposes. So I went and picked it up today, and they were very friendly and complimentary towards us and our show.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I'm serious.
And what I loved was it didn't read just media, it actually read podcaster. So again, I say this to a bunch of people listening, and I've had other podcasters tap me on the shoulder and say they listened to us and then picked up. You pick up and do a podcast because you'll probably get a media pass, and just quietly, you can get into games for free. why not? Do it.
Well, I'm not sure I get into games for free. I'm not sure it stretches that far, but really it's just about, for me, it's just recognition of the fact that, you know, we're doing real work here. You know, like this is, we're helping the league and helping ourselves and having some fun doing it. And hey, and hopefully helping the listeners. That's kind of what it's all about. So, yeah, I'm hoping maybe it gives us a little more opportunity to dive a bit deeper into storylines this season.
Fingers crossed.
Who knows?
Now, speaking of being recognized and stuff, we at the start of this whole thing, we had a call-in number that people could call. That wasn't particularly popular. In fact, that phone that I bought, that burner for $10, that's buried in a drawer somewhere. Nobody called it. A couple of calls, actually, but not many. But we've reached out and said, who wants to sort of give a report or a thought or a question or whatever and record yourself? And we have one. It's by an anonymous source. They've done it. I'll play it in a moment and you'll have a good listen to it. I really liked listening to it. I sent it to you earlier in the day. Andrew, you listened. You liked it, I'm assuming?
I liked it. I like any feedback, especially when they're nice to us. But look, I'll take anything.
Very kind. I'll play it now so people can hear it and we'll come back and we'll chat about it.
Hey there, Andrew and Joe. This is a long-time listener, first-time caller. And I just wanted to drop some anonymous notes as a Perth fan watching the first two games at ROC Arena. A couple of things. It's really cool seeing a brand new, refreshed Perth lineup, as well as organization. Just some things off the top of my head for the East Coast fans that aren't in town that can pick up on is that, you know, it's nice seeing Perth players with a bit of personality and not afraid to show it. You know, Vic Law has his own podcast, so he's not afraid to talk. And Michael Fraser looks like he has a bit of personality. And the guard or the old guard has definitely changed. Like, you know, the Wildcats have famously had their protecting circle, which they, you know, kept everything in, which works to some extent, but it also just limits the color and character that you get out of a sports team. So hopefully some of those barriers are broken down. And I think it shows when your head coach is actually tweeting and sharing his thoughts and actually being a nice guy Canadian gives long interviews and insightful interviews. So as a Perth fan, it's very refreshing to see that and entertaining. And I'm very interested to see how this team develops in chemistry and character. And I guess my other point is just noticing the production. Perth Arena, RSC Arena or Wildcats games are famously known for having a loud MC and loud music. However you feel about that is one way or the other. But from a broadcast perspective, it's really nice to notice that they've They've changed the mic setup so you can know, you can hear the squeaks and the chatter of the squeaks of the. So it's nice to see how they've changed it up, and you can hear the squeaks of the sneakers of the players, and you can hear, you know, the coaches going back and forth with the referees. So I think from a production standpoint, that's really improved, and it's nice to see. But overall, yeah, it's just a really refreshing look at the Wildcats. Nothing wrong with Gleeson and his flex era. But this new Hutchie era of the Wildcats is pretty cool to see. It's even weird when you walk into RAC Arena and you don't have Bendat and his family and his entourage sitting there in the, you know, the owner's seats. It's now a bunch of randoms that we can't even put names to faces to at the moment. But the whole vibe has changed of the Wildcats. It is definitely a new era. I mean, they just recently announced an alcohol partnership, which if you go back, you know, to the beginning of the Nick Marvin era, that just wasn't a thing. You know, they were alcohol think again. Now they've got a partnership with a local brewing company. So things are changing. It's interesting. It's good. I like to say the brand's maturing. And really interested to see how this team develops. Keep up the good work. Love listening to the banter. And sorry, I couldn't get the word cuck in my submission. All the best.
All right. So people have heard it. Andrew, I'll just say quickly what I liked about it. I really enjoyed this. I actually enjoyed that it wasn't a question to us either. It's a thought. It's self-contained. Loved it. I'll be careful not to mention the person's name. I liked how it's about Perth's personality, because I have been one of the people who've been banging the drum that the change of ownership is kind of going to be, or is already, the kind of the death of the Wildcats. And it's not, it's just changing. I was fighting change, and I was wrong to do it. And it sounds as though it's playing out in quite a nice way on the West Coast, but you're over there. Do you mirror the thoughts?
Yeah. I was a bit the same way, you know, old man shaking fist at the cloud,
yeah,
or whatever.
Cloud, yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit that way. It's change is hard. And this is a lot of uncertainty. Jack Bendat has been a very good steward of the Wildcats for a long period of time now. The culture was set quite early with Nick Marvin. He really went strong on the Wildcats culture. And you can see that not totally being lost, but certainly unwinding, I would say.
Right.
I think, and the clearest sign for all the viewers who watched any of the Wildcats games this round would have been, I think it was the second game, Scott Morrison went into a timeout and he dropped 3 F-bombs in 20 seconds and they were out of that timeout. they turned the audio down on that pretty quick. Now, Nick Marvin back in the day instituted a no swearing rule at the Wildcats.
Yeah, swear jar. Yeah.
Square. So it was,
bless him, but that's square.
Look, it was you have to reset. Like that club was a bit of a mess at the time.
True,
and he
true.
Came in and reset it and set some high standards. And I think that it served its purpose. It lifted the bar. But I think this is a clear evidence that those times are a changing.
What I also got from this that I really liked was this year, I really want to talk to you about this, Andrew. This year, the NBL, it's getting a real gut check. It's getting a real personality and gut check. Like, what is this league? And we were talking about it, about the supermarket of sports one day, where AFL in this country and cricket, they're your bread and milk. People go to the supermarket to get those two products. Whereas the NBL, what is it? Is it a cereal? I was making the comparison that it's a candy bar at the till. You get your needed items, and then on your way out, you're like, oh, there's a basketball game on? Okay, I'll eat that on my way to my car. You know, yeah. I always thought it was that sort of sugar hit consumer product. And that's not just my own belief, but also looking at sort of the money that's been made, the stability, a few other things, had it done. And there's nothing wrong with being that. You can be very successful as being that item. I mean, Mars bar, these are successful.
Can I give you my analogy I forget? I would almost call it over the last, well, not maybe the last two seasons, but a little bit before, an LCM bar. I don't know if you've got kids. Anybody with kids will understand.
I know often, but wow.
Understand what LCM
is. Connection, but this is good.
Okay. It looks like a chocolate bar. It looks like it's going to be delicious. Any kid who eats it is pretty happy with it. Any adult that eats it is like, that is disgusting. You know, it was too G rated. just a little bit too much for the younger audience. Leaning into the family friendly, perhaps just a little bit too far.
And this is exactly what I got the sense of from that recording was the Wildcats are now stepping out of that, which was always a bit trite. I always found it peculiar to have a family sport built around guys in their, 18 to late 20s banging into each other, like, oh, they're warriors, but it's for the kids. Like, what? This, that doesn't marry up. But also there's that gut check, and I like the way you brought that up. But also for me, there's this gut check of if you are the person that's bought the NBL or bought that candy bar leaving the supermarket and you're eating it, and then, quote unquote, the media or people come in and are like, oh, do you want to dissect how it tastes? And they're like, actually, I just bought it as a guilty pleasure between cash register and car. I don't want to listen to a podcast about it. I don't want to dive into this league. I just want to go to maybe 1, 2, 3 games a year, cheer, have fun, have some drinks, go home. Oh, we won. Oh, we lost. Whatever. Don't care. And so we're getting a gut check with the NBL. Like, is it a league that people are going to want to stay with for a little bit and think about and dissect? Or is it just a sugar hit? Both are fine, but you got to know what you are. And this season, we're going to find out.
Good analogy. I like that. Yes. It's probably better than the LCM bar when you brought it around.
Well, you took me back with LCMs. Do you remember that I was a child in school when they said, we've got this product coming out. Think of a name for it. And it was this nationwide thing where all these school kids put in names and LCMs was the winner. That's how unimaginative and uncreative my generation is. So,
what does it mean? What does it stand for? We don't know.
Nothing. It literally, a girl in Gundagai Primary just wrote down these three letters and it stuck. But it is kind of catchy, LCM. There's something about it.
It's a little credit. Crap munchable.
Little girl from Gundagai Primary, if you're listening, I didn't mean to slang you. Let's jump on though. I want to talk to you about this. Unless you've got something to say on that recording.
I just want to say as well about the recording, the beer sponsorship. That's just really, I just need to touch on this quickly because, Wildcats were sponsored by Alcohol Think Again, Healthway, WA. That funding support has obviously been withdrawn. It tied in nicely with their family-friendly vibe and the Nick Marvin no drinking kind of rules. Totally. The fact that they now are on board with the beer company is awesome. The biggest problem is that is a really nice beer, Colonial Brewing Company. Having some issues with its naming. I think there's a bit of cancel culture going on around that. But they don't sell it at the venue.
Oh, really? That's peculiar.
It's really frustrating. So you get like Hahn's Super Dry, which is really quite disgusting, and a couple of other options at Perth Arena. Obviously, some other sponsorship tie-in deal. Mm. Got to get that sorted out because I swear many more people would enjoy Colonial beer than that Super Dry stuff.
What's interesting is, are we going to see, you saw the Staples Center get renamed Crypto Center. Are we going to see more kind of, I don't think crypto's a flash in the pan. I've looked at it and think it's relatively stable, relatively. Are we going to see another sort of sporting land acquisition by another sort of corporate-y, weird sort of startup like crypto.com? And are they just going to do it? What is a naming grab now? I don't know. We'll see. But let's jump on. Let's go on to over-unders. So these have been put out by Top Sport, which is a betting line if people want to pursue it. I was explaining to Andrew and Andrew was explaining to me what these over-unders are. So for people who are totally new to betting, the way it works is Top Sport, this betting agency, have put out what they think teams will win, or they put it right in the middle. So for example, the first one is the Adelaide 36ers. The over-under is set at 8.5. Now they're thinking that either Adelaide are going to win 8 or 9 and you have to pick which side of that you fall on and you bet either side. Does that make sense, Andrew? Do you think I'm explaining that well?
It does make sense. So and what have we got? 28, how many games, 30 games in the season? I don't even know. Should know.
Geez, that we need that. How many games are in this season?
10 teams. 10 teams times what, 3? So 9 times 3? 9 at 27? Does that work out? Or is that wrong?
Actually, before we jump on, I'm going to Google this. you distract the folks while I Google this.
What should I do? Should I sing the national anthem or
how many games this NBL sees?
While Joe's Googling it, I just want to say as well, just another encouragement to people. You've seen what can happen if you make a little voice recording and get on the show, right? You don't have to be shy. You don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to have a voice for radio. Just get on, ask us a question. we'll put it on and have a chat about it. It's good fun. Like it's like Twitter but audio. So do that.
Okay, here's the maths for you, Andrew. There's 140 regular season games in total, split between 10 teams. So what's that then?
That didn't help.
Because obviously, well, wouldn't that be divided by
I've got the media guide here. What?
You would have thought that'd be question number. It's 28 because you have 10 teams. They each play each other. So that's down to five contests. 140 divide five is 28. So that's 28 games.
We're going
to
edit all this out, right? We're editing. No, that's all just getting cleared out.
People like it. They're like, oh, they're just like me. Okay, let's do this. All right, top sport, Adelaide is the first team they've got. They've set the over-under at 8.5, as I said before. So I want to know, Andrew Cannon, do you think they're going to win more or less than 8.5?
Okay, based on what I've seen so far, I'm going to say under.
They've already lost two, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going under. I'm just not picking up what they're putting down.
How many did they win last year? 11, 12?
They sort of had a bit of a run. I feel like it was a few more than that, but I don't have evidence in front of me.
I'm going to quickly bring up last year's totals. I really should have looked at this. I'm going to take the over.
Okay.
I think that although they've lost two, I think they may be making a change with Hannes at the quarter mark of the season.
Oh, you think they're going to sack him?
I think they would. I mean, last year they had a lot of turnover. I'll say that they won't be afraid to.
Okay.
I just look and I go, they've had a bad start.
Tough play as well. Tough schedule.
Wildcats and the Hawks. No, I'm pretty confident the over.
Okay.
That's only nine games. It's not a lot. I'm taking the over. They've still got Johnson, Humphreys, if he says, and then McCarron. I'm confident in that. But I'm not terribly confident. It's not a lock by any means. Let's jump on.
We need
jump
to
on
be,
the next.
Variance is good.
Yeah. This is an interesting one. Brisbane Bullets. 9.5. So if you take the over, you're thinking they're going to win 10 games. What are you doing?
This is tough. They're right on that bubble.
I ask, what conference are they in? So you know how at the start of the year with these broken up conferences,
in the one with Perth.
So that's Perth, Adelaide, right. Tasmania,
Brizzy.
Cairns.
Brizzy.
And themselves. So that's a pretty easy draw. Outside of Perth, like they've got bit of Adelaide to start the season, Jack Jumpers, who they've already lost to, but just bear that in mind.
I'm going over.
Okay. Why?
I think look, they're hard done by to lose the game already. They showed a bit of form. Lamar Patterson's looking way better.
He didn't in that game.
Way better than last year. Doesn't take a lot. Right.
No.
He
looks better, but he had a bad game. Yeah. He had a bad game, but he looks better.
And those rims, did you notice the rims in Tassie were really hard?
I did, Andrew. Both teams shot under 40% and by quite a lot. I think it was 33% to 35% each. It's terrible.
Those rims looked like they were taken straight from the local rec center.
Mm.
Not good. So, but over for Brisbane. They'll get it done.
Yeah, over. I mean, this is a team that won, 14 games? You're nearly 50-50 ball?
Yeah, they're always just around 50-50 just to miss out in the playoffs. That's their modus operandi.
Exactly. And they're about the same team. They've still got Patterson. Who have they lost to? They've lost that front line, but I'm going the over as well. Let's move on. Cairns Taipans, 7.5.
Under.
You think they're going to win less? How many games did they win last year? Not a lot at all.
They're not going to win any at this rate.
They looked really bad. Why? What do you think made them look really bad?
They've got no scoring punch.
No.
Like Machado is creative, but that Zimmerman guy. Oh boy, he is a step down from Cam Oliver. I feel sorry for Scott Machado. There's going to be it's not Oop City in Cairns anymore. Oh, my goodness.
But seven games. So they could win seven and you'd still finish the under. I'm going to take the under as well. I think, like you said, who's the scorer in this team? Like every team's got a scorer. It's Sobey in Brisbane or Patterson. It's Cotton. It's Law. A bunch of others. But who is it on this team? And I feel like have they kind of – can Machado be as effective as he was without – having better players around him? I think he's a guy who kind of kind of like a frog. Like you put a frog in boiling water, it jumps straight out. But if you put it in cold water and heat it up, it'll just sit there and bubble. And I feel like he's the type of guy where he does make players better around him, but he needs that. He picks up talent via osmosis around him, and it's just not there.
That's what I think. I'm not feeling great about them.
Here's a big one, though. This is an interesting one. Illawarra Hawks, 19.5. So they've got to win 20 if they can only drop 8 games. Now think about it. They play Perth a couple of times. They play Southeast Melbourne. Like they've got to be very good to win 20 games. Are they a 20-win team?
This betting mob know what they're doing, right? They're putting doubt in each of these. I'm going to go over.
Wow, you think they're going to win 20 games plus?
I don't think it, but I've got to pick some overs here, right? I don't
suppose.
I'm looking at this in isolation. I'll give them that.
I mean, I think they're right on the boil of this, but I'm going to take the under because I'd taken the over on Adelaide and Brisbane. I think they're going to win just under.
Okay.
16-17, although
they're a really good team, man.
They are a very good team. And who's going to challenge them for wins like Sydney and stuff? Actually, gee, can they win 20 games though? Perth. Yeah, I think you're right. I think I'll take the over as well, but not by a lot, only because it's really hard to win 20 games. Like you got to remember that year in NBL 19, who was the only team to win 20 games was Sydney, right? I think they won 21. And Perth, the team that won it, only won 18. Like it's that 20.
It's a real log jam. Yeah.
And think about how – no, I'm taking the under. I'm taking the under for this reason. Okay. I'm talking myself out of it. All because right. To get to that 20 benchmark, like remember how Sydney had, a 7-game winning streak to start that season?
Yeah.
I think Illawarra are good, but COVID, who knows how that plays out. Their conference is difficult to start the year. I'm going to go under, but gee, it is a regrettable one. Anything to add or want to move on?
No, move on.
Okay. This is the one if you're betting. This would be the one. If you want to tie up a large sum of money for 6 months without return, I don't actually like to bet the over-unders. It's too long until you see return, but gee, if you're going to bet, this is probably the one. Melbourne United, 17.5 wins. Where are you at?
Under.
Big time. They looked.
Is this bookie talk? They're obviously based in Melbourne, these dudes.
I think so.
They've been drinking the Kool-Aid. There's no way his team's that good.
One import, though, they've only got the Agata, right? They've got other options there.
Yeah, but will they use it? Will they use that option?
I don't think so. So we're both taking the under.
They can't afford it. They've given Delhi the entire salary cap.
Here's the two things that suggest
to me. Mr. 0-5.
Here are the two things. You said it best. They can't afford it. One, they're paying Dellavedova 700K. Ask for a million, got 700K. Aim for the stars, people. That's the moral of the story. And then two, when they signed Vickerman into how many years extension? 2 years? 3 years?
Three. I think it was three. But
I think it was three. That's, to me, sent the message of Dean.
Rebuild.
Yeah. This season, we had a hard one with COVID. We went hard to buy the last championship. We went out, we got Hobson, we got Lando, we spent... This year, you're not going to like this year so much. However, we like you as a coach. Bide your time. We're booking you in.
Yep.
No one's going to be thinking, oh, they're having a bad year. They've got Dellavedova. They should be good. Let's sack Vickerman. No. Yeah. We're pushing in on you. You're okay. I think all the buying signs are not there. So I am out. I'm out and I'm under, as are you.
Correct.
All right. New Zealand Breakers, 12.5. They did not look good, did they?
That's shocking.
These may have changed. Just the people listening.
COVID affected.
I caught these over-unders before the season started. We've had the fortune of seeing a game. I believe the line is still open, though. You can still bet this.
Okay.
But anywho, 12.5, New Zealand Breakers. They look bad.
They look really bad. Their imports didn't look as promised. They've got, a whole bunch of backcourt and not much else.
Then again, like Southeast Melbourne are the team that would probably exploit that, like real bully ball creek players and no coach there. Like you looked at how much impact Vickerman had, you look at how much impact, especially Vickerman, like, and Dan Shamir is so vocal. And I don't know. Anyway, I'm interrupting. What do you think?
What was the line?
12.5.
12.5.
Losing team. out of the four.
I'm going under. We don't know how many games we've played in New Zealand again. So they've got that up against it. I'm under.
I thought this team was going to be good, and I think they're going to go. Oh, are they a 50-50 team?
They've got a good uniform, but.
Uniform's good. No doubt there. They're athletic, man. I think. I'm giving Dan. This is it, though. Dan Shamir, I'm going over. I think they're going to be a 50-50 team. I think they're good. I don't know why. I think they're real athletic. Horrible start to the year, though. Are they going to drop games? And they're in a tough conference.
Everybody told me Peyton Seaver was going to be some superstar, right?
Yeah, I did. I thought he was going to be good.
He was not a superstar on the weekend.
We'll talk about that once we get off these.
Keep going. What's next?
Dan Shamir. I'm going over, but I'm not good about it. Perth Wildcats, 19.5.
I'm going over.
Wow. You think you're going to have two 20-win teams in the NBL this year?
They just blitz two teams with missing three players. It's ridiculous. I'm liking what Perth are doing.
I do too.
I was surprised. I was shocked. It took me about a quarter and a half to get used to the tempo, but and the jacking threes after one or two passes. It's like not so many cuts off the ball anymore. But geez, they're going to put points up. They're going to win some games.
And they got an easy start to the season. My worry is their schedule. Once they return to the fray, that's
That'll
my worry here.
They're probably going to spend a lot of time on the East Coast this year.
And that's where damn you, Top Sport. it's almost as if they don't want to lose money. Are they a 20-win team? Well, they're gonna blitz on Adelaide. They're going to blitz on – I mean, Cairns are an easy beat. I'm going to take the over as well because I think Melbourne are bad and I think like South East Melbourne are immature. They're going to drop a few games. I'm going to take the over.
Okay.
I think they're the best team in the league, so therefore I'm taking the over. South East Melbourne, 18.5. How gut check now. How good do you think this team is? Because that definitely puts them in the top four. It puts them in the top two, top three.
I think they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
Good
enough to go from a 50-50 team with Sykes to now winning 20. What I mean?
I really like Sykes, but he spent a fair bit of time injured last season. And
Good point.
I don't know. They seem to have whoever's scouting for them in the guard position. Oh my God, get that guy's.
Yeah, it's three in a row now. Right? It's one game from Mumford. I mean, he caught fire. Him and Creek scored 50 some points at 65%. Like they were unstoppable, and they beat up on a team that's they had a broken wing.
True.
Do you think that's going to carry all the way through? Carry them to 19 wins at a minimum.
I'm going over.
I think I don't feel good about it. I wish that was 17.5 and they could be an 18 win team.
This is why you shouldn't gamble, children, because you're going to lose your money.
This one, I think. Well, I won't say anything. Sydney Kings, 20.5
under.
Okay, why?
They're good, but they're frenetic and chaotic.
I was going to use a different F word.
Okay. I can't rely on them. I can't.
Frail, I thought, towards the end of that game. 20 turnovers? I was like, who's the point guard of this team? Before they had Casper Ware, who can't shoot, I'll admit that, but he played his defense at his position as best as anyone. He dragged teams to like, all right, here's where you go. This is what you do. He was a real orchestrator and winner. There's a reason why Russia paid him probably close to $1 million US.
Yeah.
I don't think they have that. I think they're going to struggle late in games. I thought, for that reason, I'm taking the under. As are you?
Yep, going under.
We'll talk about them. We'll talk about them now. I thought that their rotations were crazy. And I felt bad for people who'd bought a full price ticket to then watch the bench just soak up huge minutes in five bench players at one time when the lead's wittering away. And I was kind of like, Buford, I know you want that NBA gig and you want to be able to show them substitution patterns that mirror the leagues over there, but you're not over there right now. You're here. Win here. And then do that. I felt it was cynical. What do you think?
Yeah, the NBL games are too short. You don't need to go so deep into your bench So yeah, I just don't think you need it. I think you can always get a, you can always have a couple of starters on the court.
Yeah, and not to sound, I mean, Shane Heal bangs on about this, and I think he's absolutely right, but also it's not just a matter of let you know, that sort of, you know, whip, get your money's worth, old-fashioned thinking. No, it's also like, let your starting five get a feel for each other. And I know it's game one, you don't want to wear guys out, but 32 minutes of basketball, that's not a lot of basketball. That's what most NBA guys play in a game, minute total.
Yep.
Just because it's a different percentage of the game minutes, that shouldn't matter. Like, and let those five breathe. Let them see some errors. Let them see each other on multiple possessions, one after the other after the other. And that's why I think they lost, because they were like, oh, God, what five's on? Who are we? Who are you again?
Yeah, you know, yeah.
It just didn't work. Didn't look good. Wasn't attractive. Last team is the Tasmania Jack Jumpers, 6.5.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, man, this is hard. It's really
They've already
hard.
Got one. So they've got 27 games to now win six games.
They needed a bit of luck to win that game.
They needed all the luck,
the hoop gods,
in the known world. They shot 35% from the field. Majette was their best, and he was taking some outlandish attempts.
Yeah.
And then Patterson was a no-show, which I don't think will happen again. And then Sobey had that horrible unsportsmanlike foul in overtime.
Yeah. You've convinced me.
Can they get 7 of 20? They needed like 7 of 27 games, though. That's all they need to do to make – sorry, 6 in 27 games.
No, going under. It's tough, though. It's tough, and I'm quite happy for people to say that I'm an idiot, because I may well be on this one, but I'm going to go under.
Who can they beat? They can beat an Adelaide on a bad day. They beat a Brisbane on a bad day. Their home court looks really difficult to navigate, as discussed.
It's true.
They can beat Cairns. They can beat Cairns on their merit.
Yeah. Might even take the Kings.
Ooh, you'd have to get a choke out of them, but could happen. New Zealand. Like, there are teams they can beat.
I know.
Brisbane.
But
Cairns.
I know. This is top sport.
Well, top sport. Why I order top sport. I am going to take the over. I just think they've already got one. Like, yeah, they're close. And that court looked difficult to navigate. They certainly got the favor of the whistle. There's enough Kansas in the world, enough Brisbane's, Adelaide's, Melbourne's of the world that they could kind of, New Zealand's, they could steal from them. I don't feel good about it, but I also think that if I take the over, then I'm kind of at a 50-50 split or closer to. All right. Okay. There they are. But go to Top Sport. Bet if you really want to. Go ahead and do that. Let's move on, though.
Speaking of betting, right?
Do it.
I've got to say, I want to promote the NBL Pocket Podcast tipping competition.
Oh, yeah, do it.
Right.
We should have done this before the start, but that's okay.
This is well-organized run sheet. This is a tipping – there's no prizes. Well, I don't think there's going to be a prize.
No.
It's mainly for bragging rights. But the platform is the ESPN – naturally, it's ESPN Footy Tips, okay, because I find a basketball tipping site. But there is a footy tipping site that seems to have a basketball section within it. So get the link. I've tweeted about it. I don't know, I'll tweet it again. Do we have show notes? Can we put it in show notes? I don't know.
We'll put it in the description, sure.
Yep. Join in. I don't think there's any limit on the number of people we can have in the comp.
Nope.
We got 10 at the moment. Let's see if we can double that. You'll be around behind.
We've got
sure.
10 in there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. See? Now, the annoying thing is I changed the tip at the last minute, so I'm a bit dirty about the first week's results, because – when I heard that Perth were going to be down a few players against Adelaide.
Oh, dear.
I had Perth, locked in.
Thinking?
And then I've got a mate.
You're going to lose that media accreditation. She's going to be rebuked after such things.
I've got a mate who moved to Adelaide a couple of years ago. Not only has he rescinded his Perth Wildcats membership, he's taken on an Adelaide 36ers membership.
Oh,
and
wow.
he was chipping away at me, saying, oh, I think the Sixers might have this one. And he got the better of me.
Yeah, I understand.
So I changed my tip, and of course I lost that one.
I was 5 of 6. Brisbane let me down. That was the only one that let me down. I think the other options were pretty, a little bit easier than that one.
So join in.
Indeed.
It's the NBL podcast group on ESPN Footy Tips. Maybe search for it. We'll find the link. Join in. It's fun.
Also, I'm trying to, when the schedule permits, I want to start a Spotify green room, which is where after the last game of the round, just a free-for-all kind of, it's on Spotify. I haven't used it yet. My understanding is you create like a chat room that's recorded and it's beamed out as an instant podcast. Probably get some crazies on there going nuts, but I'd like to get that started. So at NBL Pocket Pod, stay attached to that and I'll get your details. And you can come on and like call back radio, but podcast form. Sounds
nice.
Fun, right?
Nice. Yeah, it does sound fun.
Let's jump on. I want to talk to you about Matthew Dellavedova, poster boy of the league. It was all
next level.
I covered this game. My report was on Sydney Morning Herald or wherever else. And it was like, oh, Dellavedova's first game in the NBL. Got to get that contracted. Someone's got to cover that. Cash money to cover it. And I was like, it's not going to be like Dellavedova stars in his first game, hits the game winner. I was like, this was the exact game I expected. The injuries exacerbated it, but this is the Dellavedova experience in the NBL. I didn't think that this is going to be much different from what we'll see. Don't forget, Melbourne fans, not just this year and not just next year, but the year after as well. What did you think, Andrew?
It was pretty ordinary. I don't know. How could anybody have thought that this is the equivalent of like an Andrew Bogut coming back to the league? Like he was legitimately, you know, he was banged up, but he could still score some
points. He played a
position
that didn't have the demands for Dellavedova.
Yeah.
But he was a starter. Bogut was third NBA all team. All NBA third team. I suppose Dellavedova started once they got heaps of injuries. But yeah, sorry, I'm interrupting.
No, you're right. But it's exactly the point I'm trying to make. It's spot on. Is that Deli is he's a meat and potatoes glue guy, you know, and he's really good at that, but he's not a scoring superstar. He's not sort of the second coming of Bryce Cotton. He shot 0-5-3 and none of them looked likely.
He's not even close.
His runner that he sort of made a living on earlier in his career, that looked off. The only time I thought he looked good and that the team looked good is when he went into the low block and he posted up. I thought that's when he looked like he could create most and it created the most sort of mismatches and
I agree with you there. Ups. It's when he looked at his best, but my thought is like if you're going to in 2021, knowing that book Sprawl Ball by I believe Kurt Goldsberry's out there, if you've read it, if you're going to go against the grain of everything that Mats is telling you about the game to post up Dellavedova, slow down the pace. Where is he going to score 50% of the time in the pace paint? I'd be blown away if he does. You need the perfect matchup. I just thought if you have to spoon feed him stats like that, this is going to be a disaster. And I kind of agree with you. I didn't hate what I saw, but we saw, three post-ups in 40 minutes?
Yep.
I was like, oh, dearie, mate. I want to ask you this, though. Putting the play aside, and we've been quite harsh, but from a commercial side, like there were 8,000 and a half people at that Melbourne game, I think, or maybe that was the Sydney game.
That was held in Sydney.
I'd be very interested to see their first attendance in Melbourne. Putting the play aside, like even if he plays terribly, is he still going to be a commercial success? Like I looked at it and I thought, wow, the buzz, he's on the paper. People are talking about people who never spoke to me about basketball coming up going like, oh, Dellavedova in the league. But is that going to get people to buy a ticket once they kind of see what's going on? No. What do you think?
I think people still have in mind Dellavedova from the Cavaliers, you know, way back when in that final series, you know, where he almost killed himself. And that was an amazing performance, right? But that's not the Matthew Dellavedova we've got.
It was 5 years ago.
Today.
Civilizations have risen and fallen in half the time.
Like, I would sooner go watch Mitch Norton than Matt Dellavedova right now. You know, that's kind of the level I think he's at.
Oh, wow. And like also like it's so interesting where it's kind of like business model. Like Dellavedova is a known product, right? New customer. And to sign a new customer and make it successful is something like 10 times as expensive as an existing customer. Could you, with your marketing or whatever else, make Mitch McCarron that Dellavedova type? You know what I mean?
I didn't want to say that name.
But, you know, could you have done that? Would the longevity of staying with him and his play, which was pretty electric, like he throws nice passes, he can dunk it. He needs to be more aggressive. But would that product, I just feel like if we talk about the beauty of the game and the state of the game, you would have thought that McCarron, the younger player, would eventually, and I don't doubt Dellavedova's appeal, but it would get through. It would eventually rise to the top. McCarron is the cream. You would think it would rise, to steal Dwayne Russell's turn of phrase.
Yeah. Cream. I think return on investment wise, do you pay, I don't know, quarter of a mil to McCarron?
Yeah.
Or do you pay $600,000 or $700,000 to Delly? And what's the is the return from Delly going to be that much greater? I don't think so. I think you could have really built something around McCarron. You could have, it would take a little bit more nurturing to build that sort of local boy come good kind of narrative.
But just also, you'd be a winner. Like, you'd win more games. Yeah. And people just want to see a winner. Like, look at the Wildcats. They don't care who's in the uniform. If they win, it's gravy. Yep. And that's what I think. But I also want to say one last thing on this, and it is escaping me as I think about it. Oh, yeah, in interviews, Dellavedova's like, no, I'm looking to springboard back to the NBA. If I was his agent or even Larry or someone in the league, I would have tapped him on the shoulder and said, just – don't say that. Just say, nah, I'm all in on the NBL. Yep. Have that ambition. Have it in your heart. Go ahead. You know, whatever helps you sleep at night. But in front of camera, like, no, I'm an NBL. I'm NBL. I'm here. This is what I'm doing. And because to say like, oh, I'm looking to springboard back, it's like, I'll take your $750,000.
Yeah.
But if I get a better offer, it's like, I just, and, again.
But to be honest, I've seen maybe 8 better import guards. You know, so if you're going to pluck a guard out of the NBL to go back to the NBA, precisely. Like, Delly's not going to be your first pick.
You wouldn't have thought so. But anyway, let's jump off Dellavedova, because I didn't think he was that bad. I cannot push out of my mind the fact that the amount of money he's on and then be like, oh, no, he'll get better. It's like, no, you can't take that kind of money and put up a game like that, game one. Like, Munford's not on that money, and he had a super game. Cotton had a bad game first out, straight away answered back up.
Yep.
Maybe Delly has 30 next out. Anyway, we're really running him into the ground. Hey, you're all right,
kid. I want to ask you something. Ask you something, Joe. Okay, so we've done our over-unders, right? And this kind of parlays a bit into that. So I don't want to belabor this, but just quickly, if you looked at the Blitz as being sort of the advertising for each of these teams, you've seen the actual product, all right? You saw round one, they're playing for keeps. They're actually – it's for the marbles. Now, based on the advertising we saw on the Blitz, which teams are better and which teams are worse than advertised?
Okay. I'll do this. I'll go through that list quickly again of the over-unders, but we'll talk about who's better or worse than advertised.
And yeah, it's just a vibe, you know. So Adelaide for you.
All right. Adelaide, based on their form, well under advertised. Oh, well, they were advertised highly and they have not lived up to the hype.
Yep. Agreed. Okay.
Brisbane Bullets.
You want to go?
I'm going to say push. I'm going to say neutral, because that game, you take out the unsportsmanlike foul and you've got Sobey hitting a major three and then coming to win it on overtime. That play ruined that game, and I feel like they would have won it. So I still think like Patterson had a bad game, but he does look in shape. So, you know, so I'm going to say push. Like, they're jury's still out, but I'd be thinking, if I had to give an answer, yay or nay, I'd say, yeah, they're as advertised.
Okay.
Better than.
Yep. Okay. Type ends? I probably agree with that. It's probably a fair way of putting it.
Type ends. Gee, I mean, I didn't watch a heck of a lot in the Blitz. They didn't look good in the Blitz. I thought Zimmerman, I didn't enjoy the Colton Iverson experience. Therefore, it was doubtful I was going to enjoy the Zimmerman experience. So I'm going to say they were as advertised, because I don't think there was much hype on them in the Blitz. What do you think?
Yeah, well put. They live and die by Scott Machado. He is the if you're going to advertise, he's the one you advertise. He had a shocker though, so that's a bit of a worry. So I'd say maybe they're slightly worse than advertised, because Machado was terrible.
Illawarra Hawks.
Yeah.
I mean, there was talk of revolutionize the game and blah, blah, blah. There was a lot of hype, but I still feel like they're a little bit better than the hype. What do you think?
They're really good. They've got just weapons everywhere. I think we're starting to see their lineup now, you know, and see the minutes distribution. And just the fact they can hammer you from anywhere, I think they're better than advertised.
And exciting too, yeah, I agree. Melbourne United, obviously, I don't think. Well, they looked bad coming out of the Blitz though, didn't they? Like, they looked old, they looked slow. So actually, for that reason, I'm going to say they were As advertised. As advertised. Like they, yeah. Yeah, they didn't look good in the blitz. Yeah.
Yep, good point. Yep. Great answer. Great answer. Okay. New Zealand. Man, that if you look at their social media as advertising, geez, they were going
to
be.
Okay, I want to point this out there. I think that I am really quite certain that their social media team is Matt Walsh in disguise. And I'm not saying that as a joke either. I'm really, really serious. Their tone, the cavalier nature, like that Breakers social are operating in a way without fear. And the only way you operate without fear in this world is if you are your own employer. I'm sure of it. And I'll put out a challenge to the New Zealand Breakers. Until I get a phone call, I want to hear a voice on the phone from someone. I want a name. I want a voice saying, no, it's untrue. It's not Matt Walsh. I am the social media person or persons. And until I get such a thing, it's Matt Walsh, and I want him unmasked. This is like Scooby-Doo.
All right. We're going to have to follow closely Matt Walsh's Twitter then, just in case he tweets from the wrong account.
Exactly.
At some point, if there's one, exactly. Quickly disappears again.
But sorry, right. As advertised, less than advertised. They had that game winner. Oh, exciting. And then yeah. They played the least exciting game of the round.
Totally, totally. I was so hyped for New Zealand, and geez, what a letdown. Wow. I felt like I'd been promised a delicious, rich chocolate bar, and instead I was given carob.
Let's jump on. Perth Wildcats.
Perth Wildcats.
By far exceeding the blitz expert. They were so bad in the blitz, but Perth do this every year. They sandbag, they lie, they cover that, they hold their cards so close. So yeah, I'd say yep. Better than advertised.
Way better than advertised. I was thinking this was done. I vacillated actually, because at some point I'm telling them they're going to win the league and the championship. Then other times I'm saying they're not going to make the playoffs. So I've been all over the shop. Definitely better than advertised.
And now that the schedule is actually breaking quite well for them, it's not going to break well when they go away, but. Without Norton, without Blanchfield, they seem to have bought themselves a little bit more time. And
yeah. Still got Frazier to come into the lineup as well. Another import.
Yeah, it's interesting to see what's going to happen with him. Hopefully he doesn't throw off the balance, but interesting. Who's next?
Next is Southeast Melbourne.
I'm going to say, I know this might sound ridiculous, but I'm going to say a little bit under, because the hype on this team was like championship contender, bang, bang, bang. And I thought they were good. I thought the Chinese guy was Joe Chi. I thought he was good, but I also thought, gee, talk about hype. Oof.
Yeah.
This is the darling team, most likable team. And I just thought only because the production on them was so high am I taking the under or the less impressive.
Do you know, I saw something I didn't like. I saw something in Southeast Melbourne. I saw an arrogance that I hadn't really seen before.
Okay.
Particularly from Mitch Creek, but also...
And you didn't like it. Go on. Didn't like it.
Felt like they're starting to believe...
Smell themselves.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Mm. So, didn't like that.
I can admit I only watched the mini on this game. By the way, ESPN Australia have now started releasing NBL games in mini form at around about the 12, 13-minute mark. I remember there being a certain podcast some time ago. Banging that drum. Anyway, Sydney is the next team, if I'm not mistaken.
Sydney is the next team. They better or worse than advertised.
A little bit worse, but I see their potential. Like, they're going to be fun, but if their coach can get out of the way, they're going
to
be good.
Yeah, I think they're worse than advertised. I was expecting Xavier Cooks to absolutely run rampant. He just didn't. Yeah, okay. He didn't show that same. Desire in that first game. He was really, he was just going crazy in the preseason.
I worry about their poise late. Like, who's the sort of floor general in this team? Who is it? Is it Adams? Because there are times where he was throwing the ball away like crazy. So I think I agree with you on that one. Yeah. Tasmania's the last one, right?
Yep. Are they better or worse than advertised?
I mean, they've got to win. So yeah. I'm going to say better than advertiser. And Majette looked okay. Like, he didn't shoot great.
Decision making.
It was a sloppy game. He was probably nervous. He looked small. But still, I'm kind of like, Adams had some fun plays. They've got some nice role plays. I'm going to say, I think the expectations are pretty low. Most people had them finishing last, and they've got a win. They're one win towards that mark of seven to hit the over. So I'm going to say over.
Yeah, I think they're better than Aptos. I liked them. I found myself getting sort of invested in the team.
Yeah.
I liked the energy they came with. I even started to like their uniform. I thought it was a bit bland when I saw it before the season started. But on court, I liked it. I even liked Jack McVay. I used to hate Jack McVay in Adelaide. Mm. I like him in Tasmania.
Yeah, so.
There you go. So. Better than advertised.
Speaking of better than advertised and things changing, the production, I think we want to really stress like it's improved. The set has improved. The standard has improved. Still a bit of issues with the clock and the time and the scoreboard. Did you get any of that?
No, I didn't notice the scoreboard so much or the clocks. But I can believe
the Melbourne-Sydney game, there was a slight discrepancy in the time. I couldn't. But vastly improved. Less replays cutting away from the action. Like it was, you make a mistake, you take it on board. And the swishness of the production and the table they now sit at looks professional, way better. So
it does.
Tip of the cap.
Shame it's still in the bunker though. And they have these guys at the game, they have the commentators at the game. They're crossed to them maybe twice.
Yeah, not a lot.
Really underutilized. Yes, and Damian Martin, for instance, is really engaging. I think he's great.
Oh, he's very charming. He's a natural.
They have a few guys. They had Casey at the Tasmania game. I just think that they should use those guys more.
And couldn't you have them there and then get them to call a little bit of the game? You know what I mean?
So.
Like, as they're like, oh, Case, what's going on down there? And he'll go, oh, yeah, I'm here with, hang on a second, such and such, and put in a score, then and then go back to a little interview or something. I don't know. I just do, certainly in those first three quarters, make it a little bit more conversational if you've got the option. But on the whole, though, it's an improvement. And
yes,
that's
it is.
All you can ask for.
I've only seen one decal slip.
Oh, yeah, you tweeted this, or maybe even Nick Tandy.
No, I think it was me. I can't take credit for that one. But I saw one slip.
Who was it and when? Because I didn't see this.
I think
it was in Adelaide. I think it was in Adelaide.
Could have been Adelaide. Adelaide.
Who played in Adelaide? Illawarra in Adelaide, right?
Was it Adelaide or Sydney? One of those games. I don't know. I can't remember. But it was a slip.
Okay.
But that's down on what we were seeing last year. So that's good. And I noticed the Kiwis in general were kind of less.
Yep.
Seems like there's less sticker coverage in the Kiwis generally.
Yeah, it seemed that way a bit. And it just seemed like the court was. I think there's been an injection of cash with the TV deal, and as a result, the court is a big part of the broadcast, and it's got an update. I think that's really as simple equation as you need.
Yep.
So that's good. I want to talk about the media coverage in general. There's been an influx of like newspaper shows. ESPN have got a couple. I certainly don't want to rubbish the shows because they're well produced, they're well done, they're well hosted, they're well researched. No issue with any of that. My greater question though is, they say that something like three quarters of people that get a Twitter account get it because they want to engage with sports and sports talk and sports teams. And you get your information so readily and so speedily from Twitter if you're a sports fan. You barely need any other source, right? Woj, bang, it's up. It's before the team even knows it. And I'm like, how do these newspaper shows, do they draw in the casual fan? Does the casual fan enjoy them? I'm going to ask around more with people who are coming to the sport. But as far as you personally, Andrew, what do you take much from them?
No, they just feel a bit staid, a bit kind of, they're just repeating the same talking points.
That we saw on Twitter, like honestly, 3-4 days ago.
Yeah, I just don't know. They're not for me. I don't know who the audience is. I don't know who these are made for. Obviously really into the league, but I can't be bothered with that. It's not pushing anything forward. It's not breaking news. It's not giving me an insight,
And why live? Like live is, it's less, is it less expensive? I don't know, but live, like everything is transitioning away from live. Even Saturday Night Live itself is transitioning away from all their, stuff on tape gets better views because you can then it sort of translates better to your socials and whatever. Whereas live people talking, it's just kind of, I mean, it must be cheap to produce. I don't know, but you've got, if you film stuff, I mean, there's only games on the weekend. You could film some stuff, send up a reporter to Cairns and be in their venue and talking to people and bring in different talent. You could bring in like comedians to do funny stuff, like more of a sports Betty type feel. I just don't see in 2021 where this stuff is. It has its. Yeah, I'm going to do more research and find out who they're targeting. Maybe new fans to the league really like it. I don't know.
Yeah, probably. Anyway. I mean, the only thing, live is probably cheaper because you don't have to pay for an editor afterwards.
Of course. Just bang. Of course it is. Yeah, no, that's
one and done. And you chuck it out afterwards.
I'm an editor and that's not exactly ringing the bell. Anyway, let's move on. I want to talk about this. Matt Logue, Matt Walsh. Did you see this kind of Peyton Siva conversation on the Twitter and in the
print? I didn't really. I saw other people talking about it and I didn't have the energy to even dive into it, to be perfectly honest.
That's a smart move. For those people listening, here's what happened. Matt Logue on the basketball show, who we like, go and watch them. They're not like the newspaper shows we talk about. They do good work. Sorry about that. They're not live. Yeah. But Matt Logue on there reported that Siva had been tapped on the shoulder and said, hey, listen, what you did at the Blitz, not quite good enough. You might get sent home if you don't improve. Right. Matt Walsh didn't like that at all. Matt Walsh, a.k.a. the social media person for the Breakers and GM, split role, two paychecks. I got very prickly about that. And I wanted to talk about it in a strange way because, first of all, Matt Logue's a good reporter. I think he got tapped on the shoulder. It's interesting. Maybe someone at the Breakers has fed him misinformation to see if he can hold something off the record. Maybe that's gone on. I don't know. But then also there's the idea that his sources, just use the credible term, are right. I think they are. But what's interesting is Matt Walsh is like, you can't say this and stuff. It's like Matt Walsh in coming out and saying, oh, that's bad reporting from Matt Logue, that's not true, he's cost himself money, right? Because what Matt Logue wrote didn't cost him anything. He just put it out there. Oh, yeah, whatever. You talk to Siva for 5 minutes. You say, yeah, it's not true, whatever.
Yeah.
But now they've kind of guaranteed his contract, a little sort of. So they've cost themselves money. And it's just kind of this weird situation. I know you didn't engage with it, but what do you think?
I just don't know why you need – let the reporter say what they want to say and you move on. And you might say that's you might just go so far – you might say that's an unfounded statement. I don't know where you got that from.
Well, you just talk to your player. Obviously, we haven't had that conversation. Yeah. Don't listen to it on court. Good luck.
Don't get too worked up about these things. But it does – the fact that he did get – I mean, he tends to get worked up about things in general.
I like Matt Walsh.
He wears his emotions on his sleeve, right?
Mm.
He's a good character to have. Don't get me wrong. But I think sometimes he doesn't do himself any favors.
Can I throw out a theory? This is my little theory. Just an observation I've had. Hey, if I'm wrong. Whatever, but here's my theory. Matt Logue writes for who? News Corp and their outlets, right?
Yep.
News Corp, ESPN, they're now essentially, they're sort of part of the league. Like they've got a vested interest.
Sure, yep.
Who does, and then there's that faction, the Larry Kesselman News Corp Enterprise, right? They're one thing, which is Melbourne United, obviously, predominantly Melbourne United. Who really doesn't like Melbourne United? Two owners in particular. Paul Smith and Sydney.
Yep.
And then Matt Walsh. And if you ever look at social, they're always complimenting one another. Oh, Sydney Kings, love the Sydney Kings. Breakers, right back at you. Love you back. So I feel like there was a little bit of this conversation with Matt Logue where it was a little bit like, you're on that side, this side. That's why it was so biting because it wasn't just the content, it was the history as well. Just a vibe I get.
Okay, one to watch. Let's see. This will develop over a course of a season. These kind of beefs can grow.
It will present itself.
And Matt Logue's on the beat. We got him all. Matt Logue got him all year.
Every day.
And credit to him, he is looking for material. He's doing some good work. I'm enjoying his little articles. I don't even care if they're accurate or not. Like it's just content. It's something to think about.
The less accurate, the better in my mind. The more outlandish.
Rumor mill. Pump them out.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been enjoying it and fair play. And here's the thing, like when you're Matt Logue, and I hope he listens to this, I'll contact him and say we've chatted about him, but when you're Matt Logue in a population of what, 25 million in Australia, thereabouts, half of which are over 18 and employable age, and you're the only full-time basketball writer in the country. Think about that.
Yeah.
As much as for all, there is going to be a jealousy involved there. He is on the top of the pile no matter what way you want to slice it. No one else is full-time. Tough bickies, everybody. He's there, and don't try and pull him down. Be like, you know what? Maybe there could be two up there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let's move on. I think we're coming to the end here. I just want to talk about the Standard. For people that want to, we have a Patreon. I'm going to start doing a wrap every week, just a short little thing, essentially because most places when you want to get employment. They make you show writing credibility. So I don't normally write stuff. So just being honest, but I quite enjoy doing it. But the standard, Andrew Canyon, 6 games featuring 12 teams, over 50% of them, of those teams in those 6 games, shot 40% or under.
Yep.
In some games, both teams shot under 40, the Brisbane Cairns game. But in pretty much in every game, someone shot 40% or over, or under, pardon me.
Yep.
Not good enough.
You're a harsh critic, my friend.
Ooh, do tell.
I think it's round one. They've had an extended off season. You know, the first time playing in front of people for a long time.
Yeah,
a couple of the venues have questionable rims. Yeah, let's not worry too much at this stage.
But I'll say this: huge injection by News Corp, ESPN, so on and so forth. Production value. You only get one chance to make a good impression. I think a lot of those people in Tasmania would be satisfied with any game. Not any offense to them. I think they just seem to really like the game on its merits.
Yep.
But I would honestly, if you were tuning in as a first-time watcher to Melbourne, Sydney, I don't think you'd be coming back in a great hurry.
Okay, so maybe you lost Melbourne. You mean Phoenix, Sydney?
I mean, Melbourne, Sydney.
Oh, sorry, Kings, Melbourne, United. Sydney. Yep, okay, sorry.
Kings United, where Melbourne shot 35%, the Kings turned it over 20 times.
Okay, so you have one. You have a bad game, right? Okay.
Two major cities. That's 3/4 of the population. Sorry, I'm interrupting.
No, but I think, okay, and maybe the Cairns-Adelaide game probably wouldn't have sold too many tickets, actually.
Okay, so that's 2 of 6. So third of the games are terrible. Yeah. I'm just like, you only get one chance to make an impression. And I'll say this as well, and I agree with you, long off-season crowds for the first time, very true, but that's Vic Law went from Brisbane to Perth, his first game in the uniform, first game in front of the biggest crowd he's seen in this country, 37 points. That man sold tickets. That's how you play basketball.
Yep.
And I just felt like the others, I'm like, come on. I know you can do it, but you needed it that first night. And here's the thing. I agree with you, long off season, so on and so forth. But however, you get paid the same for game one as you do for game 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way to 28.
Yep.
It's the same tariff. Same thing. You know, you got to go out and get it and sell your product. And I was underwhelmed round one.
Okay. That's tough. That's Joe.
Send your hate mail to me.
I love the league. AMBL, great work.
You're just looking after that accred. No.
No, I'm changed now, man.
It was still exciting. There were still great games. I mean, the Brisbane-Tasmania game had a love a tight finish, and that was as tight a finish as it's going to get. Great storyline on and off the court. But I'm like, and as I said, most of it was a lot of coaches getting too flirty with rotations, but that's just me.
All right, their first game nerves. Come on, man.
I sure hope so. All right, Andrew, I think that's it. Have we covered anything else we want to get to?
I think that's everything. Patreon. Yeah.
Patreon.
Check out our website, mblpocketpodcast.com.
Do indeed.
Follow us on Twitter at mblpocketpod, which is the cool one, or just me at Andrew Canyon. You get. I feel I've missed a trick there.
Bit of stuff on tech and products.
There is a crossover. Yeah, there's a sure crossover between a bit of nerdery, bit of basketball, and sometimes some 90s wrestling.
Mix it up. Well, that's it. And listen, listen to all the other podcasts out there. The Sport Blokes.
Yes.
Throwback Hoops.
Yes. Brad and Botty.
They're the ones that are nice to us. Definitely listen to them. If you're thinking about starting your own, do it. If you want to send us a little piece on camera or just audio, send it through. Get your name out there. Who knows? Might just work for you. Might not either. I don't know. This thing's probably cost us more work than it's driven. But nonetheless, we're having fun. All right, Andrew, let's get out of here.
All right. See you, Joe.
Hey, Joe. Ciao. Bye.